Well, today, since this week, if you didn't, maybe you noticed, it was the celebration of Purim, P-U-R-I-M. Anybody notice that? Purim is a Jewish holiday that comes from the book of Esther. And that's what we're going to look at today, Esther, and God's sovereignty. Now, this is an important aspect of our faith, is the sovereignty of God. Meaning God is going, you know, this is where we have trouble. God is going to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and as he wants to do it, okay? He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He can do it on his own. But he chooses to use us. He chooses for us to be involved in the decision and in the fulfilling of his will and his purpose in our life. Now, the argument, you know, well, if God can do it without me, let him. Well, he will. And we're the one who misses out on what God is doing when we don't participate. Because, you know, people can live their life without God. I'm sure we know people that live their life and they have nothing to do with God, and they're going to live a life and they're going to die, and they're never going to know what it is like to have God with them. So, for us, it is letting God know that we're available, that we are available for him to move through, to touch our life. And so it's more than just me being blessed. It's about God participating, we participating with God in the fulfillment of his plan. So let's look just at a few scriptures here in Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the days of Ahasuerus, who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces, in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in Susa, the citadel, in the third year of his reign he gave a feast for all the officials and servants. The army of Persia and Media and the nobles and governors of the provinces were before him. Now, the Hebrew word is Ahasuerus. The Greek name is Xerxes. So whenever we're thinking of in our history classes and maybe remembering our history book, it's Xerxes is the Greek name. This is a place, did you get a map, Terry? I like maps. So what we have is, I'll get on this side. Remember we have the Babylonian Empire and Babylon. That's not going to work. Okay, there's Babylon. There's the city of Babylon there. And they conquered Jerusalem. Okay, remember that? So whenever Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. He comes into Jerusalem, sacks the city, takes all the temple things, burns the temple to the ground, and it just devastates Jerusalem, and they all go back to Babylon. Well, Jeremiah says that there's going to be, Jeremiah says there's going to be 70 years of captivity, and then God is going to deliver Israel to come back home. Well, who is next? Babylon is conquered by the Persians, where it says Media and Persia. The Persian Empire comes and conquers Babylon, and Cyrus, Isaiah prophesies, I think it's Isaiah, I get Isaiah, Jeremiah, whatever. But anyhow, the prophet says that in 150 years earlier, before there was Babylon and before there was the Persian Empire, the prophet said that he names the king who is going to set Israel free. So when Daniel and the Medes and the Persians, the Persians conquer Babylon, that we have them being set free to go back home. That's where we have a remnant of the Jewish population that was taken to Babylon. We have a remnant of them going back to Jerusalem to rebuild. But they've been in Persia, Babylon, for 70 years, and so many of them have started a new life. So we have the Persians. Now, today we are looking at Esther. Now, Esther is in Susa. See where Susa is there? S-U-S-A. Susa is the citadel, the capital, the winter capital for the Persian Empire. And we find that the Jewish population was, besides in Israel, it was in Persia. Imagine that. So today, where are we bombing and fighting? We're fighting the Iran, which is Persia, and the Mede in Persia. So there we go. We have Iran, and we're fighting with that. And so Babylon is in Iraq, Saddam Hussein, who is rebuilding Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And then we have Susa, which is the Persian Empire, and that's where we have our lesson today, which is Esther and the celebration of Purim. Now, whenever we see the events of Esther, we find that, I always like to talk about, I'll come across it in the order, because sometimes I get out of order and then you just, don't know what I'm talking about. Pastor, get focused on the map. So, I think it's interesting because Iran is Persia, and they was Persia up until maybe, 50-some years ago, whenever the Iranian, they changed it to Iran. And Iran is Persia. Iraq is the Babylonian Empire. And those areas had all of the Jews that came from Babylon. Babylon took out of Israel. They settled in that area. And there was a very large Jewish population. Now, I tried to look up how many Jews would be in Iran. And it said most, they wouldn't give you a number because most of them are in hiding. But one other thing, in case I forget this one, in Iran, there is a strong underground Christian movement. And that these people, they're in hiding because, of course, the clerics would kill them. But what happens is, It's like what it was in behind the Iron Curtain in Russia, that the Holy Spirit would move on people and they would have visions and dreams about Jesus. And they would then seek people out to help them understand what this is about Jesus. And they would be able to find a group of Christians without being advertised or without knowing who was what, by the Holy Spirit leading them. And this is what happened in Russia in the Cold War, that the Christian the believers were able to have meetings unannounced because they would be able to go somewhere by the leading of the Spirit, and that's where they would have their services, and they would treasure a page of the Bible. Not the whole book, just a page. And they would pass that around amongst the group. So that's what's going on in Iran today. So there are many prophetic messages about this region. We have where Jeremiah prophesied that it was 70 years, and Isaiah prophesied 150 years before it happened that Cyrus the Great would be the king of Persia that would let the people go and go back to Jerusalem. So go back to Israel. So these were, when we're looking at, that's when the critics were saying, well, Isaiah wasn't written when it was written because how would he know who's gonna be the king? Well, God. And it's surprising how many how many biblical things and biblical scholars, so to speak, don't believe in God. You know, they believe in it as a history book, but not even an accurate history book. I was surprised that the Hebrew University in Jerusalem doesn't believe that in the God of Abraham, Isaac, that he is just maybe an influencer, or, you know, it's not like literal, that David was some individual who campfire story, like the Jolly Green Giant, you know, something like that. But we find now they're having a hard time trying to do away with the evidence that points to David as a real person, because they find his name on steles and on markings that are not from Israel. They are in Egypt or in other places, where one individual said he conquered the kingdom of David, and it was after he had one of his grandsons or whatever was on the throne, and he conquered him and said, I have conquered the kingdom of David, you know, and the critics couldn't find that. So anyhow, the Persians conquered Babylon, and the Persian Empire, as I said, is Iran, and the two main cities, as we were looking at here, is Babylon and Susa. Whenever we see Daniel 8, Persia is not only mentioned in one place or another in the prophetic message, but we find that, let me just forget about all this stuff, we find where Susa, the king Cyrus, let them go back, and everything was, you know, kind of hunky-dory, except there was one guy in the court of Sisera that wanted to kill the Jews. Now, we find where you have Susa, the king, the capital of the Iran. You have them in place, and then you have this guy named Haman, and I always get him Haman the hangman. Okay, Haman, who wants to kill all the Jews. Well, Haman is a Haggite, and Haggites are a descendant, I think they're Seth's line from Adam down, and anyhow, they were a region that God, whenever the children of Israel were coming into the land, God wanted them completely destroyed and wiped out. Okay, well, Israel didn't do that. But even since that time period, they have been arch enemies of the Jews. So Haman is a very prestigious, wealthy individual in the court of Cyrus. And so everybody has to bow down to him. Well, Mordecai is the uncle of Esther. He won't bow down. He's not going to bow down because he don't like the Haggites, and they don't like him. So because he doesn't bow down, Haman says, I'm going to kill him. But not only him, I'm going to kill every Jew in the Persian Empire. So this was more massive than the Holocaust, because the Persian Empire went clear to Palestine, went clear to Israel. So what he's planning on is killing every Jew in the whole region. So that would be, you know, that was primarily where all the Jewish people lived. And so he was going to kill the entire race, the entire family lineage of Abraham. So he sets out on his plot. And we find in in Acts chapter 17, one of the scriptures says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the place of the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. The writer here in Acts is telling us God has established the boundaries. Okay? God has established the boundaries of countries. and determine their allotted periods. So whenever we're looking at the sovereign act of God, we're seeing where God is saying that in the scriptures that each country, each place has its own boundaries, has its own makeup, and they are there for a period of time. Well, so whenever we see the Persian Empire coming into play, it was a very important part of Israel going back to rebuild the temple and redeveloping and getting Israel set up for Jesus to come in 400 years. So the Persian Empire, the large population of Jewish people that stayed behind, they didn't go back from Babylon to Jerusalem. They stayed in Persia because they had a good life there. So we see demonstrated God's sovereignty and his loving care for his people. He kept the children of Israel, even though they didn't go back to Israel, he kept them there in Persia. God's sovereignty refers to his ultimate authority and control over all creation. Essentially, it means God is completely in charge with the power to direct, govern, shape everything that happens, always working out his purpose, even in ways we may not fully see or understand. The important thing here is God has a purpose for our life, and he has it planned out, and he knows what decisions we're going to make, but we still have to make them. We still have to make those choices. And if we choose to do not follow God's plan, God has plan B. God has plan C. But he would rather have plan A, which is you. And he wants you to work through this. So Esther is written about 470 BC. So they're in the book, they're in Susa, and it's 470 BC. And also, in case you can you throw up the map again, I'm sorry. Right at the Persian Gulf, where the river comes down, that area is the Garden of Eden. Susa is one of the oldest cities in the world. It was one of the oldest cities in the world, and in the book of Genesis, it talks about all these rivers coming together. Well, on the left-hand side, you have the blue Persian Gulf there, and you have the river going up. And to the left, there is a mountain range, and they have found a river. It's all dried up, but came from the mountain range to the left that is in Iraq. And so that's why they have come up with that region is where the Garden of Eden was. So it was it's a very strategic place on the map, all right? And so we have these things going on with Iran and Iraq and Persia, Babylon. You know, I always wondered, well, where's Persia? Where's Babylon? Where's the Babylonian Empire? Now you know the rest of the story. Fox News is signing me up. I was going to say one of the other networks, but I said, nah, I don't want to do that. So, Ezekiel 38, 1-6. What I want to also show is that Persia is part of the prophetic future that we're running into. The word of the Lord came to me, this is Ezekiel, son of man, set your face toward Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Mesha and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaw, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great host, all of them with buckler and shield, wielding swords. Persia, Cush, and Put are with them, all of them with shields and helmets. So those groups of nations are Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, and Iraq. Those are the things, those are the region that Ezekiel is prophesying against, that they are going to come against Israel. Now, this is just supposition, so, hey, you know, it's me, you, and whoever wants to listen. That since China, you know, there's also a prophecy, I didn't write it down. There's a prophecy that a million-man army will cross the Euphrates River and go down into Israel, down into that region. Well, if you think of it, Gog and Magog are often thought to be Moscow and Russia coming down, but there's also another prophecy where there's a million-man army. Well, since Venezuela, has been taken out in their oil supply to China, I think they were 20% of China's oil came from Venezuela, and now 50% of the oil shipped out of Iran went to China. So now there's this great emptiness of oil coming into China, and the prophecy is a million-man army. China boasts of a million-man army that will maybe cross the Euphrates River and attack the Middle East. For what? Maybe for oil. That's David's supposition. I didn't hear from God. I just put two and two together and came up with three. And it's just the way, it's just some things to think about. Because what's going on here and what's going on in the Middle East, is especially now, is extremely prophetic and setting things up for the return of Jesus. So you see, Jesus is coming back. And what we're looking at, he said, the signs of the times, you know, look at the fig tree, and, you know, he uses analogies of nature, and he says, whenever the, one of the things was on the other day, earth, moon, and sky, there will be signs in the heavens. Well, I found this one site, and he was talking about signs in the heavens. Louisiana, fish moved into a cluster, and there was a red dye in the water, and they all died. In New Mexico, there was an object found in the ground that referred to one of the Psalms 105, seek him, meaning God, but this object shouldn't be there because it's hundreds of years older than anybody in that region, and shouldn't be there, and so they can't figure that one out. There was a sword-shaped object in the sky, sword-shaped object that they found in the earth that was made from a meteor that has nothing to do with any metallurgical things that we even have today. And in Florida, there were two large wings in the sky for 3 minutes up in the sky that they were filming and putting together. So the idea is that these phenomena, these things happen in the sky, and they are signs. Now, again, are they signs? Some people say that they are. Some people say they're just signs. So what do they point to? Well, we think that it is bringing things to a conclusion when Jesus, well, for us, a return of Christ. So, as we look at Esther chapter 1 and 2, the king throws a party. Okay, king throws a party, and in Persia, it's a drunken party. And they're drinking for a week or two or whatever. And so, the king sends for the queen and wants to parade her around the drunken bums and officials, and she refuses to come, and so these drunks get together and they decide, well, we can't have her not obeying the king, because then our wives won't obey us, so we got to punish this queen. So they deposed her, and these drunks came up with a plan: let's have a beauty contest. Now, if you think about how that the sovereignty of God works, here's Esther. Her parents are dead. She is staying in Susa, and she's staying there with her uncle Mordecai, and he's watching over her and so on. Well, she ends up being caught up in this beauty contest. At the same time, Haman the hangman is mad at Mordecai for not bowing down, and he wants to kill all the Jews. So he's putting together his plan to kill all the Jews, and we have Esther in a beauty contest. Did you ever think that your life is exactly where you need to be? And that God is preparing you for that which you don't even know is going on? You see, for Esther, she doesn't know what Haman the hangman is doing. She's having to participate in this contest. But Haman the hangman is behind the scenes wanting to kill all the Jews. And so God has her in a position to save all of the Jewish community before it even has the decree coming out to do so. One of the things they found is whenever Haman is trying to determine when to assassinate or when to kill all the Jews, they have a die that is from Persia at that time period that would have been like what Haman would have done to throw out to get the time and place for his action against the Jewish community. So they have found that. So anyhow, you have this going on. Esther is chosen as queen, and we have then Haman comes out and has this, Haman the hangman, comes out with this idea, let's kill all the Jews. And what we will do is everyone who can kill the Jews can take their money, their homes, and their businesses and wipe them out. So he's planning on exterminating all the Jewish community by the greed of the other individuals. So what happens, and I know that we've done this study before and, you know, a couple of weeks of it, but what happens is Mordecai finds out about the plot, and he goes to Esther. And in Esther 4:14, he tells her, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. If you refuse to fulfill God's plan for your life, don't worry, God will come up with another way. But you will still suffer but you and your father's house will perish, because no one knew she was a Jew. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom of heaven for such a time as this? That's the point of our life. Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this? Because we're here, and the war is over there in Iran. We have all these things going on back and forth. So here we are. You know, here's the war behind us going on. Just like Esther, here she is in a beauty contest, and Haman the hangman he's putting all these schemes together behind the scene. And then it comes to Esther's attention, you've got to go to the king. Well, I think of it in our own life that we can go to the Lord in prayer for these people, the people that we know that don't know Christ. The people who are going through crises and problems and difficulties, Jesus is coming back. Now, today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, don't know. But he is coming back, and these signs and these things are all part of what God has spoken of throughout the Bible. And so we are coming to this place that the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise and will be caught up to meet them in the air. So this is happening. So we have come to the kingdom of God for a very special time, and this is it. You are here. You're part of the plan. And so what is God going to tell us to do? Well, what does Esther do? She has everybody pray, and she comes up with a plan. God always has a plan. You know, we're the ones who fly by the seat of our pants, you know. And but God always has a plan. He knows exactly what's needed, exactly where we're needed, and exactly what's to happen in our life. So our response is, how are we going to respond to the difficulties in life? She didn't want to be in a beauty contest, but she was. No choice of her own. She, you know, if she had made herself ugly, and, you know, I'm not going to make the king happy, well, she would have lost, and she wouldn't have been queen. So she couldn't have been where she needed to be had she rebelled against the system that was seemingly dragging her through life. In our life, life is not dragging us. God is leading us. It may look like we're being drugged. Well, I didn't want to go here. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want this to happen. No, it happened. Deal with it. Live it. Allow God to speak to our hearts and lives and to keep us going. You see, and what brought me to this whole thing is the Purim. This week was the holiday for the Jewish people that celebrated Esther's foiling the plan of Haman. And because of that, the king was able to issue a decree that all the Jews were allowed to get together and fight against all those who were trying to kill them. And there were over 500 people killed in Susa by the Jews who were trying to kill the Jews. And so you have all this battle going on, and they were able to protect themselves and secure their lineage. All because Esther went before the king. Now we would say, well, she's the queen, she has to get... No. In that empire, the king, if you were not asked to come in to before him, you died. And one of the things, and I didn't have it, but the palace at Susa and the scripture that is of Esther and how she is preparing herself in the court, and she goes to this, there is the outline of the temple, the palace at Susa is exactly the way it is written in the book of Esther. It's like this is the progression that they would have gone through. So this isn't a fairy tale. This is God's deliverance of the children of Israel. And know this, God will deliver Israel today. So we pray for them. Pray for the peace in Jerusalem. But we are called upon to serve God where we are at. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Amen? Can you say that? Who knows whether I have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this? You have a place. God has a plan. So, 30 seconds. Reflect on how God is still working in our lives, even in hidden ways. And are we in a position where we don't want to be? But guess what? God has us there for a purpose. Maybe that's today. So let's take a few seconds and think about this. Okay, any thoughts in your mind? Did you come up with one? I was looking over. Persia is clear back in Genesis 10. It was the power rise and to conquer Babylon. And then with the birth of Christ, we have the Magi from the east, who are probably from Persia. And then we have the empire, and we have Ezekiel's prophecy of how that in the future it's going to gang, Persia is going to gang up on with the other nations and come against Israel. So it's a very important piece of history, this country. So we pray for peace in Jerusalem, and who knows whether you have come to the king, I have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how that you move in our hearts and lives. And God, there is much to know, much to understand, but yet your spirit guides and sustains us and helps us. So I pray for your peace. Your peace, O Lord, to be in our hearts and minds, the wisdom in our facing of circumstances, that you give us direction. And Lord, we pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Israel, and that, Lord, that you will continue to work in their life to protect them and keep them safe. And we know, Lord, that you are returning soon. Let us, Lord, be faithful, and let us be true to what you have called us to be. For this is your kingdom, this is your life, our life is your life, and that, Lord, you have a purpose for us in Jesus' name. Amen.